All right, well, I'm the Minister of Information, JR. First off, I just want to thank everybody for coming to this town hall meeting that we brought together a lot of the different leadership from the Los Angeles area as well as from the Bay Area to talk about this case and dealing with Oscar Grant in particular. This is a historic case in which we have got a police officer indicted, although they changed the venue from Oakland to Los Angeles. They're basically trying to see what they're going to do to get this police officer off. One of the things that they're doing is they have the Ramparts judge, the judge who let off 27 officers in a corruption case not too long ago, and that's who's overseeing this case. So us as a community and the leadership, particularly in the community, we have to come together, join forces, and see what it is that we can do collectively to combat this. So we have a host of people in the house. I'm just gonna read off the list. And then we're gonna have a few presentations, but half of the town hall meeting is gonna consist of a dialogue. So we're asking all of our speakers from the stage to keep what you're saying short in respect to the rest of the crowd so that we can have a dialogue and see what it is that, what ideas that the crowd has that the leadership or the organizers may not have thought about yet. So, we have people in the house, Uncle Bobby, and also one of the other uncles of Oscar Grant is here. We have Jack Bryson, who his two sons were with Oscar Grant. We have Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. in the house. We have Dedan Kamathi in the house, who is with the All African People's Revolutionary Party. We have two members of the San Francisco 8 in the house, Ray Boudreaux and Hank Jones. We have Minister Keith Muhammad in the house, who's been very active in this campaign since the beginning. And I know that there is a host of other people that I may not have named. So without further ado, so we can get this underway, I want to bring up the family, Uncle Bobby, and I don't know the other uncle's name, but the other uncle also, to give us just a summation of what's been happening in the Oscar Grant case from January to February, because there's been a lot. But you know, can y'all give him a round of applause?
Hello everyone, and thank you again, JR, for allowing us to be able to come up and share what we've experienced through this last year. And again, I'm Uncle Bobby, Oscar's granduncle, and this is my brother, Kenneth Johnson, who is also Oscar's granduncle. But I'm going to let him say a few words, and then I'll pretty much take it from there.
Hello everyone. I just want to say there's a couple things that this family wants. Three things. First thing, justice possible. That's the key thing that we want right now, justice possible. Two, we want change. Change somewhere, whether it's in the police department, the bar commission, laws on the taser, anything, but some kind of change, so this won't happen again. It's easy to say it won't happen again, but we all know, in reality, they're just human beings, and they're gonna have a bad day one day or a good day. We don't know. All we know is we want them to be held accountable for their actions, whatever that may be. And the last thing we want is peace. Peace here, peace back in Oakland. Just peace. That's it.
Had to leave me up here alone, but anyway. No, but you know what? Much love to my extended family, which are you. You know, the people that are involved in this movement, because today I've discovered that this is not just about Oscar Grant and his family. You know, this has to do with the whole community and itself and the issues that we've been dealing with for years, and finally it's been put on camera, and we have an opportunity today to make our voice heard by the action that we take. And again, it's all because of the community action that we as a family recognize that has brought us thus this far. You know, so we want to thank you as a family for the support that you've given us, for standing behind us, and doing what you do best, letting it be known that if you break or violate our rights and don't believe that we have rights, then you're going to hear from us as a community. You know, and that's what this is about. You know, so hey, I want to just personally thank you and my sister send much love and respect for you the community, doing what you've been doing and supporting us through this process. You know, JR asked me to kind of sum up what has happened in the last, really in the last 2 months concerning the case in itself. So, you know, as you know, we're here in LA because of a change of venue, because they felt that the people in Oakland, you know, were a little bit overhyped about this case. But see, they haven't seen nothing yet because we're in LA. You know what I'm saying? And the people in LA, as we know, are much more hyped about it as we are. You know, so I'm thanking JR and many of the activists for coming together and letting it be known that we, as a community, not just in Northern California, but also down here in the South, are standing together to make this change happen. You know, there was a recent press conference that our attorney did concerning the recent settlement. And, you know, so I guess what it is for me today, to try to help bring you up to date on some of the issues concerning the settlement, some of the issues concerning how, whether the family was affected, how we were affected, and where we at with that settlement, and also what the community in Oakland did concerning the settlement, you know, and how Bart and Raines, the defense attorney, try to sabotage, or they pulled the oldest trick that we know today, and that is to divide and conquer. You know, they tried to immediately cause separation. Well, initially, we didn't necessarily agree with the settlement. So, of course, that brought some questions up, not only within the family, but also within the community, because I began to get phone calls. And many people asked, well, what happened? You know, and some of the phone calls even came from the media that asked, was there a separation between the Mesa family and the Grant family? I mean, is there something going on? Why would Safina settle and the mother not settle, my sister? You know, well, to make a long story short, you know, it was really in Safina's best interest. And we understand our attorney's decision on the reason why that settlement took place. But more importantly is for us to understand that there's no division. There was no separation. There was no family in-house fighting going on concerning the settlement. It was a settlement that happened. It's been expressed to us as a family intimately about the details of it, which we can't discuss, about how it works. And so we are truly, as a family, happy for Tatiana, you know, because she is taken care of for life. Though the settlement may seem small, the reality of it is, it actually allows us now to take off the gloves and really do some fighting, because we don't have to worry about her livelihood or how she would be affected in the process of this case going forward. So, where we at today, you know, we seeking justice. You know, there's no amount of money that can quench the desire for us to get justice for Oscar.
That's right.
You know, and our justice we're talking about is not financial, but the justice of the fact that Johannes Mesley needs to be incarcerated for the murder that he committed.
Right.
So we stand firm and believe that the community raising up and speaking to the issue will bring about that change, will bring about that conviction. You know, so there is much hope that, as JR said, this historical event that's taking place can truly happen and begin to be a model for, I would say, the nation. You know, as we know, this is the first time in the state of California history that a police officer has been charged for murder.
Long time coming.
Yes, sir. You know, and you know, and since I've been in this event, you know, I'm kind of going off a little bit than what JR want, but it came to my knowledge, and I'm not sure how many others are aware of this, but it came to my knowledge that in the past 15 years, you know, over 5,000 black and brown men have been killed by police officers. Only six actually been brought to trial for murder, and only one has been convicted. And that was the officer that killed his brother Malice Green in Detroit. And one of the reasons why he was convicted was because of the community involvement in keeping the doors of law transparent so that we could see what was going on. And people made their voice heard. What we're doing, You know, and that's a model to follow. So, you know, it just behooves us to continue on in this fight, though they may try to drag it out. As the judge said, that if it was left up to him, he can make this thing last 5 years, because he wants us quiet. You know, he don't want us to know what's really going on. So he's willing, when we stand up, to say, hey, you know, if you want to be loud, I'll tell you what, you're just going to have to wait. You know, but he also needs to understand that there's a many of people today that are, you know, going to follow this case to the very end. You know, and so that's a blessing in itself for us as a family, to know that we have the support, that the community is behind us and willing to walk with us. Rain, the defense attorney, have made some direct attacks on our attorney, as well as the community, as well as Jack's sons, and the other young men on the platform. You know, number one, he felt that the settlement was so minuscule in the sense that he said it was causing a division among the African-American folks in Oakland concerning John's decision to make that settlement, or to agree with that settlement. There's no division. You know, the community took it to John. John opened his doors and allowed us to be able to come to him and express our feelings concerning this settlement. You know, and though the community heard him speak, he was also allowing the community to tell them how they felt. And he heard that. And I'm going to leave that to Minister Muhammad to give you more in detail of that in itself and how it transpired, how it occurred, and what we got out of that as a people and us as a family. You know, so there's been many attacks that's been taking place, and I'm sure there's going to be many more. But the thing that we're doing to counter the attack, and I believe has actually given us more strength, is the fact that we as activists actually did a press conference that the media really didn't want to play, you know, but they played some of it. And part of it was what Jack has said that's really important. And Jack, he'll share that with you when he comes up. But overall, we've been in a major battle. You know, like my brother says, you know, the third thing that we would like is peace throughout this whole process. But I'm gonna be honest with you, though I feel that way, I also know sometimes some direct action is required for people to hear our voice.
Yeah.
You know, and though I desire peace to continue, I also understand that there comes a time too where our voice has to be heard in ways that people know that we are people, and we're going to express the issues that are brought up against us that we don't like. You know, so I'm telling you today, you know, I am not near as angry as I was when it initially started, because if I had been woke when it first occurred, I might not be standing here today. You know, I was in so much mourning concerning my nephew Oscar that the issues that took place in the earlier days was well deserved, because actually it brought attention to this case. You know, not only brought attention in Oakland, but it brought attention to many people across the United States. And so, therefore, I see there's many times when action like that is required for a voice to be heard. You know, thanks to JR for getting it out in the community, talking about the issues at hand, you know, allowing me and others to be able to speak to the issues at hand so that the public can be informed on what's going on in this case. You know, there was a recent article that came out in the paper, San Francisco Chronicle, concerning BART and the issues concerning how they trained their failure to spend money concerning taser belts, even Mesley himself, and the fact that he has actually pointed tasers at other people. So this is not like his first time. You know, these are just areas that is showing that BART has allowed individuals like Mesley, Tony Peroni, Marisol Dominici to work for them in a way that truly violates our rights. And then they stand behind it as if it's okay. Because as we know, you know, Tony Parolli right now, as we know, is still getting paid, as well as Marisol Dominici. You know, those issues need to be addressed. You know, and I know I personally received an email from them concerning that, because I made a personal complaint myself against Tony Parolli, but they want to send it to me. It was a slap in my face, you know, by design, that they're going to send me a response saying that his investigations are still pending the day of the settlement. You know, and so I had to think about what was that about, you know, as if, you know, it was laughing at me because, Raines put it, you know, that settlement made our case look weak. You know, but the reality of it is our case is just as strong, if not stronger today.
Murder is murder.
Murder is murder. You know, and he needs to stand up for the murder that he committed, and the videotaping itself speaks to that issue. But more importantly, you know, this opportunity for Oakland to mix with LA in a town hall function to talk about the issues that's going on is going to bring about much more knowledge to the people here in LA concerning the details of the case, you know, because there's many. You know, I'm going to get off this mic and allow others to talk more in detail about the history of the events of the case, but I'll just talk a little bit about Oscar and who he is so that you'll know. Because there's going to come a time, as you know, how they always do us and demonize us. You know, Oscar was a son, he was a father. You know, he was a brother, as well as an uncle. You know, he has a daughter, Tatiana, who was 5 years old, as many of you have probably seen and have somewhat come to know. I mean, he was just a gifted brother. You know, New Year's Day at 12:49, my wife and I was eating, and God had put him on my heart to text him. And I texted him at 12:49, telling him that I love him, that God loves him, God loves his family. And an hour later, he was killed. You know, so it was a blessing for me to be able to tell my nephew that I love him, but also to speak on his behalf at this time through this process to get justice for him. You know, because I know if he would have been able to text me back, you know, he would have told me thanks, Uncle. You know, and he's always just been, you know, that nephew to me. You know, he loved people. And he was always for what was right. You know, so just because we may have some history behind us when it comes to what we call not so upright citizens in this community does not mean we don't have rights. You know, his history had nothing to do with what happened to him on that platform that night. You know, that's it. And everybody saw during the time period on that platform, he was the peacemaker on that platform. He didn't bring about no terror, as they're going to try to bring as if he did. He didn't bring no issues concerning any threat, right, bullshit or whatever. You know, Oscar was a peacemaker on that platform. And he tried to bring everybody in peace, and Mesley made the decision, or Johannes Mesley made the decision to kill him. You know, and that's all because of the fact that he spoke to the injustice that was occurring to him on that platform. You know, and I just want to thank everyone for allowing me this opportunity to be able to talk, you know, a little about Oscar and a little bit about the case. You know, I want to thank JR for even putting this together, Minister Muhammad, especially for just standing with us, you know, and giving us the support that he's been given. And of course, my brother Jack, because had it not been for him when this thing first occurred, because he came to me and let me know that he would do whatever he could to help us through the mourning process that we were in. And what I recognize is that this is not about me, it's not just about the family. Each of us have a voice in this process. Because there's going to come a time our voice is going to disappear. You know, and it won't be because I just, you know, decided that it's no longer of an issue, but the fact that I may die, or the fact that events occur where there's going to be other voices that need to be heard. And that's why it's so important that we stand up and speak for one another when the individual at that moment in time can't. Because Jack has carried this message for me I've been carrying this message for my sister, and she will carry this message when she gets her voice back completely. Thank you.
And now that we heard from the family, we want to get also another member of the family slash friends, Jack Bryson, whose two sons were with Oscar Grant. But before we bring him up, I know there's a lot of interference outside, but can we ask everybody in here to put their cell phones on vibrate? Because there was a whole lot of beeping and stuff going on. So out of respect for the town hall meeting, can y'all all put y'all cell phones on like vibrate or off or whatever? So without further ado, Jack Bryson, whose sons were with Oscar Grant that night, and Oscar Grant, his sons were a dear friend of Oscar Grant's. Jack.
Thank you to the community of Los Angeles for having us here. This happened January 1st, 2009, and 2009 has just, my life has not been the same. Every night I wake up at 2 in the morning, 3, can't sleep. I just keep seeing that video over and over and over and over. I got a call at 5:30 in the morning. January 1st with my kid's mother screaming in the phone, and she was saying, they shot him. I was like, my stomach started knotting up. And you know when you get that phone call and you get that feeling in your stomach? Well, that feeling had never left yet. That feeling is still there. She's screaming in the phone, they shot him. I said, I thought my son got shot, so I was scared. And she hung up with the phone, and then she called back. She said, oh my God, they shot Oscar. Turn on the TV. So I turned on the TV, and I see my sons, Oscar, and the other young men. And Oscar, like Bobby saying, Oscar was the peacemaker. He, to me, my passion is because he saved my son's life. Because the officer that killed Oscar Grant beat my son first and then handcuffed him and went over to Oscar. And why they did this, Oscar was a peacemaker. He was the peacemaker. And if you look at the video, all I see is Oscar and my son and the police officers. And he handcuffed my son. They called Oscar a nigger 3 times before they killed him. So the same thing that's been going on for 400 years happened on 2009. And so I see my son jump up and the police jump up and, you know, he shot Oscar. And I can't get this out of my head because after they killed Oscar, they took my sons to jail and they kind of tortured them. You know, they had them handcuffed for like 6 hours, 2 hours in the car. They were dehydrated. One officer, he opened a bottle of water. One of the young men asked for some water. You know, he was shook up. He didn't know what was going on. An officer drunk the water in front of him and went, this water sure is good. This is what they did. So then after they shot Oscar, my son, he jumps up and he's screaming. And he's looking at Oscar, and he said, Oscar, please don't close your eyes. Oscar, please look at me. And Oscar looks at my son, and he said, man, they shot me. And he looked at the police and said, man, you shot me. And he said, I got a daughter. And then my son started screaming, and they picked Oscar up, and smoke was coming out of his chest, and blood just pouring out, and they drug him like a dog. And, you know, that's why it's so important, you know, as a community from Northern California to Southern California to make this happen. So we got, you know, it's up to us. It's up to us to make justice. You know, so as a parent, I'm just like on my way up here. You know, they really kind of inconvenienced the family and all of us. I mean, I've been up since 6 in the morning getting ready to come to L.A. I'm from Oakland, but if this is what we got to do, then this is what we got to do to make sure justice happens. In the beginning, it was like 200 people. I mean, marched to the district attorney's office. Minister Keith Muhammad led that. He's still here fighting for us. And JR, he's still here. It's called like the last two men standing. But anyway, I just wrote something on the way up here because I didn't want to talk, but if you give me a moment, I just, as a parent, this is, you know, and on the way up here, I just wanted to write some things down because every night I wake up at 2-3 in the morning and I'm just thinking, I can't sleep. So I'd just like to thank you to the community of LA for supporting and embracing Oscar Grant and the family. Thank you for standing up for Oscar Grant and his friends who were with him that night when he was killed. John 2, Mike, Jackie, Nigel, Chris, Carlos, June, Jamil, Sophina. Sophina is the mother of Oscar Grant's baby. She was downstairs waiting for Oscar to come down. He never made it downstairs. He never made it down those stairs. Oscar Grant never made it home to kiss his daughter goodnight. Oscar never made it home to tell his mother, "Mom, I'm home safe, I'm cool." As I ride down Highway 5 for this long journey for justice for Oscar Grant, I can't think of nothing. I think of everybody that was killed by police. I think of Sean Bell from New York, who also never made it home or to his wedding the next day. He, along with his friends, went out to celebrate his last night to be single. But instead, it was his last night to live. See, just like Oscar Grant, Sean Bell was killed by police. Since January 1st, 2009, that's all I do is think. I wake up every morning at 2:30, 3 a.m. Every night, I think of Oscar, my two sons, Jackie, Nigel. I think of John, too, Mike, Chris, June, Jamil, Carlos, Sophina. I think of Wanda, Oscar's mother. I think of Uncle Bobby, Oscar's uncle. I think of Oscar's grandmother. I wake up thinking all the time of my community, Oakland, California, San Francisco, California. I wake up thinking of Rodney King. I also wake up since I've seen the video of DeAndre Brinston, who was shot 80 times in Los Angeles. That's never left my mind. A dog, they shot him 80 times and took the dog to the hospital and left him to bleed. To these folks, their animals mean more than a black man's life. I also think of Gary King and Gerald Hall. I think of Huey Newton. I think of Mamiya. I think of Troy Davis. I think of Kevin Cooper. And I think of Bobby Hunton. I also think of Bunchy Carter. I think of Red Hampton. I think of how he stood up for justice and his community. I think of how I was told that Fred Hampton and Emmett Till were neighbors, that they used to hang out together. They were next door neighbors. I think of how J. Edgar Hoover wanted this young man killed. I think of how Fred Hampton had Fred Hampton Jr., a man right here, in his mother's womb, had a gun pointed at him. And he was in his mother's stomach. Man, I think how I used to see Oscar Grant, the honor it was to know him. I did not know Sean Bell or Fred Hampton Sr., but because of Oscar Grant, I met Fred Hampton Jr. And when I sit and listen to Fred Hampton Jr., I think and smile and say, man, this is the son of one of the greatest activists in the world. And I know this man has Oscar Grant's back and his friend's best interest. I remember I went to Chicago. I went to go speak about Oscar Grant in Chicago. Everyone in Chicago, everywhere I wanted to know about Oscar Grant. So I was in Chicago, and as we were going through some of the neighborhoods, now some of the neighborhoods aren't like Los Angeles and California, Oakland. They were kind of rough. So what I did, I said, hey man, you know Fred Hampton? So everyone looked at me, oh, you know, and they was like, their eyes lit up. Oh, you know Fred Hampton? I said, yeah, that's my partner. people ask me, well, how do you know Fred Hampton? And I said, I know Fred Hampton Jr. because of Oscar Grant, because his father stood up for what was going on to Oscar Grant. Man, you know Oscar Grant and Freddie, that's what they were saying. So when I was in Chicago, I wanted to speak, and then I started thinking about the injustice of all these young men. And then I was speaking with two young men, Ronnie Kitchen and Mark Reeves. These two young men, at the age of 21, were beaten and tortured by John Birch. And I started crying hearing their story. They were only 20, 21 years old. That's my son's age. Them is babies. And they were tortured into a confession, and then they were sentenced to death. And when I met them, we became friends. And then again, I asked them, you know Fred Hampton? They smiled and said, yeah, we know Fred. And they called Fred, and they told him I was with him, so Fred told him to look out for me. You see, this whole year, I had nothing to do but think of my life. Has not been the same. Like I said, I wake up at 2:30, 3 in the morning, and I think of the good people that I have met. J.R., Minister Keith Muhammad. I met Minister Farrakhan.
That's right.
I met Richard Brown from the San Francisco 8. I met my friend Rachel, Erica, Barbara Becknell. And I also wake up thinking of Anthony and Daryl Mixon. I grew up with Anthony Mixon. He was my childhood friend, and we used to play together. And it's a trip. As I wake up, I think about his son, Lavelle Mixon. Mm. 2 months after Oscar Grant was murdered, Lavelle Mixon killed 4 officers in one day, within an hour. And these police were mourning, and people were going around saying, F you, now you know how we feel. I just keep thinking about him. Man, what a year. And I will never, ever forget what those police officers did to Oscar Grant, especially Officer Johannes Mesley and Tony Peroni and the other police officers when they killed them. But what I think of all the time is the day that the California gets justice for Johannes Mesley and this police officer goes to jail for murder. I think that will be justice, but that does not make up for the 400 years of injustice. Wow. I'm sorry I could not mention everybody's name, because everybody is somebody and we all count. And I just want to thank you, JR, for helping put this event together, and Minister Keith Muhammad for being my friend and sticking with the family and the friends, and my friend Rachel and Erica. Thank you so much.
So that now that we heard from the family and friends, we wanted to bring up organizers in our community nationwide. We have a number of them in the house. So we're going to kick it off with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., former political prisoner, son of the assassinated Black Panther, and also founder of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee. He's been working on the case also since the beginning and working in a nationwide capacity to make sure that the rest of the nation in particular knows about this case outside of California and other places. Without further ado, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr.
Thank you, Brother Minister. Let me first say revolutionary appreciations for everybody coming out here. It's a true testimony to the spirit of our people, you know what I'm saying, the caliber of forces that came from as far as Chicago that I know about. There's Keith Muhammad, and I'm just know some more folks out in Oakland, and representative of the SFA, and going to definitely stand a clenched fist to all my comrade, and my partners in fighting against crime, my Minister of Information, JR, and as well as those forces that's right here locally in LA, Minister Tony Muhammad, local representative of Nation Islam, Brothers DeRiders, Sisters DeRiders, and just the community in general. I'm listening to some of the powerful testimonies that's been put out thus far. And I was listening to what brother Uncle Bobby had pointed out about the cases of what we refer to as police terrorism. And he pointed out some uniqueness about the case in Detroit in reference to Malice Green, who was gunned down by the police in Detroit. And one thing, I was held captive, I was locked up, and what sticks out of my mind about the case of Malice Green was when the government, when the state attempted to do what we refer to as the sidetracking of the slave. And what that is it's a tactic that's been historically employed, tactic like when you've seen the pigs and they vamped on, oh, that's my brother Abel. Hey, Black Power, brother, man. Yes, sir, right on. And light in my face, a lot of people I'm not seeing directly, y'all, so don't charge it to the, how they say it, charge it to the, man, at the heart, right on. But in Detroit, back to this tactic, the sidetracking of the slave. We've seen case examples in LA when the pigs had vamped on Rodney King. They attempted to get the people involved in a question about was he speeding or not. In Chicago, the case about when they attacked various leaders of different street organizations, and took this case on Larry Hoover, the GDE's former Gangster Disciples, later the Growth and Development. They had the whole, they entailed, and when he's going for parole, they were saying, was he the leader of Chicago's most notorious street gang? When they attempted to employ this tactic in Detroit, and said, was Malice Green have cocaine or heroin? The people had took the offensive position and saying, we don't care if he was, what he was, what type of narcotic or, like how we like to call it, plantation poison he was involved in, he was how, you don't convict them pigs and see what happened in this city. And that's the position that we have to take, you know, say on the offensive, and not allow the system to allow us to call it what we call a sidetracking the slave. And there are going to be differences, there have historically been differences in our communities. And we say with the Black Panther Party, say the differences amongst the people are reconcilable. The differences between the people and the state are irreconcilable. And I was listening to some of the names my brother pointed out. Cases of police terrorism historically, some revolutionaries, some activists, some just, you know, people from the community. That's not to negate the importance of this. But it's important that we point out the fact that, as Malcolm said, even if you don't fight back, if you're not engaged in a revolutionary acts, this system will get out on you. And we have to come to grips with that. A lot of people tell me, well, Chairman Fred, people are not ready for revolution, we're not ready for struggle. We have no options but to struggle. I mean, we've seen case after case of people who went to school, went through the whole chasing the American dream, whatever you want to call it, and, or, you know, people that's, you know, out there, you know, doing the hustling, or whatever you were doing cases of Diallo in New York, Sean Bell. And we have to come to grips with the reality that there's a war being waged on our people. And we have to start using war terms, have to start using brutal terms to address brutal realities. I say it time and time again that being oppressed is embarrassing. So a lot of times we try to jive ourselves about being oppressed. But we have to understand that Chairman Fred always talked about revolution is a scientific art that must be perfected. We have to approach it realistically, understand that everybody ain't gonna be no revolutionary. But everybody in their life should be at least guilty of committing a revolutionary act. And it's important that we point out when, on what basis are we together for? We ain't come here for no social thing. I'm not coming here because I like you or the way your clothes look, so on and so forth. The state, the system, in some sense of the tough words, have really formed these relationships with a lot of us. I mean, a lot of us have come together based on this attack, the situation of Oscar Grant. And we say, we would love Oscar Grant to still be here, but we say when opportunity knocks, snatch the door off the hinges. What that means is, what I'm saying is that we don't look in some separate capacity about the whole thing about just the police terrorism. We must tie all the tentacles of this system was getting down on us. I'm talking about whether it be the police terrorism that's vamping down on us, the chemical biological warfare that's coming in the forms of AIDS, Ebola, crack, and heroin, whether it be the forms of what a lot of people call a growing prison industrial complex, which we refer to as the mass kidnapping of African colonized people, or the conditions inside those concentration camps, and even some recent discussion that a lot of people may consider a conspiracy theory, this whole discussion about weather warfare. And so, you know, the whole thing in Haiti, so on and so forth. And we gotta draw these connections. And we send dispatches of forces out to different places. In fact, our Minister of Information just has recently returned back from Haiti. And I'm sure sometimes you need provide some testimony about some stuff you witnessed and what's going on, contradictions, so on and so forth. We sent dispatches out to New Orleans in response to Hurricane America. Notice we didn't call it Hurricane Katrina, we refer to it as Hurricane America, because we like to get credit where credit is due. When we say Katrina ain't killed nobody, America be it. We said, when you go out to flood the streets of Philadelphia in response to the state up in Annie on the assassinate when we out with Jamal. When we go to Georgia about the case of Troy Davis, or we trek up here to LA, these are not social trips, you know what I'm saying? We look at this in war terms, and we have to send a message, a clear message, to this system that if tomorrow, hypothetically tomorrow, if they pull some legal tech and say they're going to have a change of venue, that this case is going to be deployed to the moon. Saturday morning, we should be investigating on how to get spacesuits and ships.
Right.
We have to send a message to them, man, wherever they, if they send it to Alaska, we soon they're booting up, we there. We respect no colonial borders. We ain't set tripping, wherever they affect our people at. We have to have a response there. A lot of people was tripping. In fact, even now, I remember we used to have some discussions prior to this whole discussion in the state, was talking about a change of venue, about the fact that they moved to LA. Because the people, as well as the system, know that y'all here in LA, y'all have a history of expressing y'all selves when the judicial system do what it do and then get on our people. Y'all express y'all selves and educate the system that we refuse to be treated as Rodney Dangerfields of all races. In other words, no respect. But with their tactics, a lot of times they with these colonial borders and different types of sidetracking the slave, and they get in their arrogance, they feel that they can get us caught up, and a lot of us do get caught up in our rat races, you know what I'm saying, chasing the checks and dealing with basic day-to-day contradictions, toilets, soap, you know, bonding my cousin out of jail, so on and so forth. We move it up here to LA, it'll be isolated from Northern California. But again, I just want to extend a clench fist to all the representatives, the people that's here, people that are not physically here, and with the force, like my brother pointed out earlier, we done saturated the streets of Chicago, wherever we go. We're not just doing it. I know y'all ain't just doing it just through the town hall meetings. We need these town hall meetings. We have to up the ante in every venue that we are at. We just intertwine this in our day-to-day discussions. A lot of times, people wait till February and start talking quote-unquote conscious. We say we cannot afford that luxury because our position is that black people are on the verge of becoming history. Mm-hmm. Last night, some cats came and got me, pulled me out in California, in Oakland, up in Oakland, took me to this little comedy show with Dave Chappelle. And after that, I'm talking about this case of Oscar Grant. And a lot of people say, well, man, you know, sometimes we just can't be going to all that. Big man. Owning them plantations, doing their child slavery. We, whatever people seen as phenomenal, whether it be what they refer to as the Negro spirituals, Harriet Tubman is a servant of the people, put her ear to the ground, so okay, I ain't gonna knock you for doing your singing, but we got to utilize this. When the sun go down, meet me at the river, you keep on with your beat and all that. Reverend Nat Turner, put his ear to the ground, seeing what they define as the phenomenon of the church. And that spirit said, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Chairman Fred put his ear to the ground in Chicago where the street organizations were and are phenomenal. Politicized the formerly known devil disciples to a point where they get up publicly. See, we now renounce us to be known as the black disciples due to the political education we're receiving, Chairman Fred, and Black Panther Party, started working the free breakfast program, the vice towards the free medical center. I'm saying this to say that there should be no stone unturned. Every discussion, we got to intertwine this case and use it since the season time about the conditions, the situations, the attacks going on our people. Make the connection to the execution of Tookie Williams right up here. Make the connection to what's happening to our people in Haiti, New Orleans, so on and so forth. And I'm going to say this. This is, for me personally, it's a charge, a spirit uplift, you know what I'm saying, the season to forces here that's been trekking from, I don't know where to get up here. I just can't, I've been in struggle. And all organizers, whether you want to admit it or not, we all know this, we all go through battle fatigue. And sometimes we can get demoralized. And we serve it to the people, and we work for the people, and our work calls are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that street out there is our concrete. But sometimes we kind of get upset with our people we work for, you know, like, damn, we doing, what is it for? One, I say we always got to remember that we have no other option but to struggle. As Marcus Garvey said, failure is not an option. As Malcolm X stated, that even if you lay down and say, master, am I cool, am I all right? They say, no, nigga, turn over. This type of parasitical system that we dealing with. I was just deployed. We were going to check on some cases in Oklahoma. I bumped into some other brothers. They took me and said, well, chairman, before you get back, because I wasn't able to make the trip to Haiti, say, ride down with us through Dallas, Texas. I went through Dallas, Texas, and this was the after parties of the NBA All-Star events. And I'm still discombobulated. And I get the sights that I've seen. And I'm having to just step aside from some care and say, damn, these niggas free. I'm talking about the amount. I mean, guys in the party with bottles of champagne literally bigger than me. I drove down on different cats, all of these famous names. And these, you know, man, God be my witness. From Chris Tucker to this reactionary cat, Charles Barkley, tell me, man, I know who you is, I know what your work you do. So all this nonsense we jiving ourselves about, we ain't putting the word out. Cats know, but they don't know. It's like this safe type of way that pet cats, people want to entertain discussion. Like, you know, you go to the zoo and look at the exotic animals, but they ain't talking about, really, I don't even want to know the details of this stuff. We got to destroy this class piece, man. There cannot be, man, we can't be out here in this plantation, man. And I'm telling you, they partying hobnobbing up in these houses, man, different places. We got to be able to deal with Uncle Sam and Sambo, man, the gringo and the negro. Real talk. Because I was messed up. I seen places where negroes just jacking up resources left and right. All I was seeing was the amount of flyers we could get distributed. I was just right. Basic stuff until I'm flashing back on me hopping on the CTA bus, you know, bond finance going in there, the embarrassment, you know what I'm saying, dodging lawyers, they calling me, ain't got the funds to pay them. We got to hold people accountable, man, and sometimes it's demoralizing because we wonder, man, you see, okay, one statement, chairman, you say about the weather warfare, you talk about how powerful this government is. We can't win, but I say, man, Mitch Minister UEP Newman has stated that we must go, if nothing else, but spit at the tank. And it's what a bunch of cars said, man, nigga, do something if you don't do nothing but spit. And a lot of people say, well, I found out what happened to me. They can't keep picking us up one by one, y'all. And I know that people get involved in the work and become quote unquote conscious one of three ways. Inspiration, aspiration, or desperation. And the majority of times, people wait till the heat hit that ass. Minister E.P. Newton also stated that the masses don't meet the boiling pot of oppression before they're ready for revolution. But I'll give you my word, we're gonna stay consistent on this mission. And we're gonna be here, we're gonna say, this man, we're gonna put the heat on the state. And I say we are just on the POCC, talking about the coalition, the organization, the masses of people. And it's gonna be highs and lows in this struggle. It's gonna be climax, it's gonna be time. We're like, damn, what is this for? But again, remember nothing else, y'all. We got no other choice but the struggle. You know what I'm saying? It ain't gonna be no easy thing, but historically, a lot of people been going through, and if nothing else, have faith in the people. We know what the Sandinistas said in Latin America, that the will of the people is greater than the man's technology. This shit is a paper tiger, y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's a paper tiger. It can be defeated, and it will be defeated. Revolution, love, respect, power. All right, okay.
Next, we want to bring up to the stage from the All African People's Revolutionary Party, also from Freedom Now on KPFK, longtime revolutionary in the area, Didon Kamani.
Ready for the revolution. First of all, as always in a tradition of Pan-Africanist, revolutionary Pan-Africanist, we acknowledge Native American people, traditional peoples whose lands we're on. United States is no different than Palestine. no different than South Africa in the past. Some say today, stolen people and stolen land. We're the African indigenous people. We have the phrase to acknowledge, because when was the last time you saw an American Indian? We want to talk about police brutality, state brutality, genocide. Look at the American Indian. Also, I like to think about, I'm 60 years old. I've been in movement all my life, you know, starting in the mid-late 60s, but we have in our presence a brother who's been consistent since the 50s. Brother Minister Wazir Muhammad, our elder, our esteemed elder, who today is still active in the movement. I'd like to acknowledge Brother Wazir Muhammad. There is a role model. Hopefully when I'm 80, I'm still as committed to African people and to the liberation of my people by being in an organization like the Nation of Islam, and not just being out here the Lone Ranger, you know, talking that talk, but not in a collective organization. I also, as an older brother, like to thank Brother JR, who I've known for, 15, 20 years, and his consistent commitment being an organization fighting for the liberation of our people, as well as all the organizers. I also like to acknowledge two other, I feel very blessed that we have Brother Minister of the Western Region, Brother Tony Muhammad from the Nation of Islam. And Brother Keith Muhammad from Oakland, the Nation of Islam. And sometimes people want to acknowledge that the largest mass organization of African people in the United States is the Nation of Islam. The best and largest circulated newspaper in the United States is The Final Call. In terms of media, the largest media network is the Nation of Islam's radio programs throughout the United States. Historically, the best therapy for brothers in the penitentiary coming out of the streets with that gangster thug mentality has been a rehabilitative spirit of Master Farouk Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam. So the contribution of the Nation of Islam to the liberation of African people in this hellhole called the United States can never, ever be misconstrued by the Zionists, can never be underappreciated. Their contribution historically, going back to the 1930s, continuing the tradition, Marcus Garvey, is phenomenal. We, the All African People's Revolutionary Party, stand in full support of the Oscar Grant movements throughout California. There are movements throughout California. We also stand in full support of all progressive movements and organizations fighting national slash racism, class oppression, and gender oppression, oppression of women by this capitalist system. Oscar Grant's name, he was unknown before this dastardly deed, but now he's on the lips of all conscious and many unconscious people, both locally, nationally, and even internationally. I get emails from comrades in Ghana and in Sudan asking about Oscar Grant. So this has become an international icon, an international case that we the people have raised to this level. You know, the Bay Area Rapid Transit Department messed up, for they have given immortal life to Oscar Grant. And whether his name is spoken in spoken word, in internet, on radio, television, newspaper articles, and rap songs, he will live now in eternity. So as we express his name in his spirit, he's still alive. So our brother's still alive. You, the people, have been involved with this protest movement. We need to give ourselves a round of applause. We need to work. I'm not going to go into the particulars of the case because the people here who I've heard at the big rally, hundreds of people in front of the courthouse, on my radio program, Brother JR, I've been covering this case now for the whole year. He's been a regular guest on my program. The people here, the family speaking, others were more authorized, more educated. So I'm not going to try to be redundant and go through the cases. But I do want to praise the young people of Oakland and Los Angeles, because the protest in Oakland and Los Angeles is driven by young people. And that, to me, negates. It makes me feel good as an elder, as a cadre member, to know that when I cross over, the struggle will still continue, because, you know, they spent a whole lot of propaganda, especially the Zionist radio, television, media, promoting all this gangsterism and fratricide and individualism, and I'm going to get mine, and cash rules everything around me, and blooded and crimping and light skin, dark skin, and all these guys, Baldwin Hills versus Crenshaw, I live in the jungle versus Crenshaw, Crips, you know, all this kind of matters. They spend billions of dollars to make sure that the young people don't rise up to the causes they claim out of the Garvey period, the Nation of Islam's birth period, the Black Panther Party, which I was a member of, they wanted to make sure that they stopped that rise. And, you know, Oscar Grant, the struggle in Jena, I mean, there's many examples of the rise. There are no people ain't buying into the madness being created by these Europeans. I also like to thank POCC, the Nation of Islam, Black Writers, RCP, the Anarchist Collectives, the Coalition Against Police Execution, Cop Watch, ARA, the Los Angeles Committee for Justice for Oscar Grant, and many organizations have been organizing in Oakland and in Los Angeles, because there's many organizations struggling around this particular case. We salute them all. I think the best tribute we can give to Brother Oscar Grant is by our actions in joining an organization fighting to expose the fundamental contradictions of U.S. imperialism. These organizations and movements are part of a worldwide police system, be it the FBI, CIA, the Anti-Defamation of B'nai B'rith, Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, United States military bases, all public and private intelligence and military systems. And I say private sector, because if you're monitoring what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, they've got a private army that they have built, trained by Halliburton. Over 23,000 corporate executives are in this private army that's capable of seizing control under fascist martial law and providing control, total control. So it's a public and private sector, not just the feds, the military that we talk about. What are the fundamental contradictions? Antagonistic contradictions, two kinds of contradictions. Non-antagonistic that we can work out among ourselves through discussions, through dialogue, and what they call antagonistic contradictions, which can only be resolved by one side destroying the other side. What are the fundamental contradictions? There are national or racism, national oppression, class, the rich versus the masses of us, and gender. The best incense, the best flowers, the best memorials we can have for Oscar Grant is to raise the ideological understanding of what were the driving forces that caused the assassination of Oscar Grant. There are millions of Oscar Grants in the world. Third world brothers and sisters who are being killed in Iraq, in Yemen, in Pakistan, in Somalia, in Afghanistan, all by the same forces for the interests of the 1% ruling class. The capitalist forces that killed Oscar Grant have 738 military police bases throughout the world. 738 bases throughout the world, killing young brothers and sisters, many times like in Iraq and Afghanistan, civilians, killing them. We say to you that Oscar Grant is nothing but a microcosm of the war being waged by the United States ruling class against all oppressed people, especially young brothers. What we say is this, that we take away the profits from police terrorism, there'll be no more police terrorism. Because if you don't understand the link between police terrorism and the maximization of profits by keeping young brothers and sisters under terror, you don't understand America. We say by taking away the profits from COINTEL, the counterintelligence program that targeted some of the brothers in this room, we don't understand the nature of United States capitalism. But we take away the profits from racism, national oppression, there'll be no more racism. It'll be unprofitable, it will not exist. We take away the profits from wars, there'll be no more wars. When we take away the profits from the exploitation of the workers, this oppression that's going on, when we take away the profits from that, there will be no more. So we say in the spirit of Oscar Grant that we must make a continual commitment to expose the fundamental contradictions that cause the BART police to function as all police do throughout the world. All United States police, whether it's the Army, the Navy, the CIA, LAPD, Oakland Police, that we must expose the fundamental contradictions and smash capitalism, smash imperialism. And in the final last, that'll be the best tribute to Brother Oscar Grant, who looks upon us tonight with a smile, because we have immortalized him and all the Oscar Grants, all the young brothers and sisters killed throughout the world. We have a moral political responsibility, you know, to expose the contradictions of this racist system. It's a systematic question. Barack Obama, you know, Ron Dellums, you know, they're nothing but stooges caught in a racist capitalist machine. So, in the spirit of all African people, the Brother Kwame today, we say, ready for the revolution. We thank you very much.
Hey, and I just wanted to let the people know in particular, you know, it seems like all of the speakers have been male. Two of the female speakers haven't made it, that being Keisha Brunston and Tanta Seasway Chimaranga, who have been working on this case. So both of them, if they come later, is that Keisha? Okay, Keisha in the house. I didn't see Keisha. Okay. Well, we got Keith, Brother Keith Muhammad coming, and we can get Keisha in there, and then we also have something from the San Francisco 8, and then we're going to open it up so that we can have the dialogue that we need to have in calling this town hall meeting together. So I want to thank everybody for being patient. So let me introduce somebody I've been knowing for a long time in my life also. Somebody my cousin works very closely with, who is also a member of the Nation of Islam. Somebody who's been standing on the front line of this struggle right here in particular since the beginning, as you've heard from a number of the speakers. That's Minister Keith Muhammad of 26B in Oakland.
That's right.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the One God, to whom all praise is due, the Lord of all the worlds. Allah, the creator of all things, the revealer of all truth, and sender of all prophets. We thank him for Moses and the Torah. We thank him for Jesus and the gospel. We thank him for Muhammad and the Holy Quran, and may the peace and blessings of the one God be upon all of his worthy servants. We can never thank him enough for his intervention in our affairs, for his raising among us a divine leader, teacher, and guide in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. As a student, I was never so privileged to meet the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in person. But I am blessed, and we are all blessed, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prayed for and was given a helper, that we would better understand his mission and message. And that helper is our big brother and friend, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum. Can we first thank Brother J.R. and all of the activists and the demand for justice for Oscar Grant. Of course, on January the 1st of 2009, our brother was murdered by BART police officer Johannes Mezeli after a 11 to 13 minute conflict that concluded by his being called a bitch-ass nigger three times, laid on his face, attempted to be handcuffed, allegedly, when an officer stood up, Johannes Mezeli, and murdered our brother at point-blank range. We didn't have the privilege at that date of knowing what happened. We hadn't heard on the news. We hadn't seen the videotape. There was the word going around in the street that a young man had been killed, but I believe by January the 3rd, the videotape hit the press. Immediately, we began to organize. We did see Attorney John Burris in the local press defending Oscar and calling out those that killed him as murderers. I don't know in terms of dates when Mr. Burris became acquainted with the family, but I do know that the community was surely outraged. On January the 6th or 7th, the day that Oscar was being buried, was the very date that we were organizing to meet and confront the district attorney for his failure to make any statement that he would bring charges in any way, shape, or form against the murderer of Oscar Grant that we'd all seen on live television. When we met with the DA, the funeral was ongoing in that moment, and the district attorney's words to us after we were able to meet with him, he agreed with us. And he said to us in private that I intend to bring charges in about 10 days. We asked him, Mr. DA, if we shot somebody on live camera, would it take you 10 more days to figure out what to do? He said to us in that moment that law enforcement officers have a special privilege with the district attorney's office, that law enforcement officers are entitled to special rights that we don't know anything about. We would later learn you called that the police bill of rights, which entitle a law enforcement officer to have a double privilege when it comes to your Fifth Amendment rights against self incrimination. Johannes Mezeli fled the state. He was hiding and waiting when he should not have left the area at all. The district attorney refused to make a statement and said to us, in essence, I'm not going to say anything, you do. We left from him, and it was done the next day. The mayor of Oakland, who had staff in that meeting, responded to the demands that we were making on the district attorney and forced the district attorney to come out and do and make the very statement that he refused to make public before that he intended and eventually did bring charges against Johannes Messerly. Now, in moving forward, we were blessed eventually to meet Brother Cephas, Oscar's uncle, his wonderful wife, and the family of those who have suffered. And the suffering that Jack and the Grant and Johnson family knows, we know because we love justice. And when we stepped in to involve ourselves, it was as a result of a love for justice. The Bible declares that justice stands afar off, and equity cannot enter because truth has fallen in the street. So, by God's grace, men, women, and children from every walk of life began to organize around the principle of justice for Oscar Grant. And at that initial press conference, some of the pastors began giving the chant that you have now heard on many occasions, that I am Oscar Grant. I am Oscar Grant. I am Oscar Grant. Well, how is that? How can we be a person that we've never met before? Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan once said that no one of us can rise above the condition of our people. So the problem that Chairman Fred referred to when he talked to some of the athletes and entertainers, and they seemed aloof about what was going on in the case of Oscar Grant and in other cases where our people have struggled. The reality is Bill Cosby lost a son right here in Southern California, who was murdered on the street trying to change a flat tire. That each and every one of those that may have earned a few dollars is no different from any of us. And so since no one of us can rise above the condition of our people, that also means that no one of us can escape the conflict that was facing Oscar Grant on January the 1st. My brother Tony Muhammad is a victim of LAPD police brutality. Our brother, Minister Abdul Wazir Muhammad, was involved in a shooting incident of LAPD against Mars 27 in 1962. Right here on this corner, in 1990, 60 to 70 LAPD officers rained down an attack on a handful of brothers who were on their way to an exercise class. Right on this corner. So the brutality that Oscar faced is not a brutality that he faced alone, for everybody on the train saw what happened. I think JR published a videotape of other cameras that were aboard the trains the night that Oscar was killed on IndyBay.org. And we want to thank Dave, who's here, that has posted and recorded all of the ongoing activity. And from that tape, you hear the witnesses that are aboard the trains. You don't see these tapes on the local television. According to what was testified, there were over five tapes already introduced in evidence at the preliminary hearing. But according to what's been said, there's more than 30 videotapes of the murder of Oscar Grant, and those aboard the train were calling out for justice as the police were brutalizing them before they eventually killed our brother. What makes this case so unique and special is because any of us could have been aboard that train. Any of us could have been confronted with that force. I was just reading in the Final Call, the latest edition, which our reporter is here, Sister Charlene, and I have to say to the Final Call newspaper, I don't know of any other issue in 1 year that's been covered more than the murder of Oscar Grant. Sister Charlene, has done such a wonderful job.
But listen to these words from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'll step down in just a minute. Every day of our lives, we are at your mercy. An army of policemen throughout the country, with clubs in their hands, set out to beat the Negro and to shoot the N-word if they feel like it. Nothing is hindering him. He is not going to go to prison for doing it. All he has to do is tell the judge that he shot that old N-word, and the judge will wink his eye at him and say, "Wish I had a chance to shoot him myself." So now that we're in this trial, we're grateful that this is the first time in the history of the state that a law enforcement officer has been brought to a murder charge for a murder in the state of California. That's a result of the activism of the people that were unafraid to organize and mobilize themselves to demand justice. However, we should know that as this trial unfolds, trials bring out the truth. Trials purify systems. And as we are looking at this trial, every element of the justice system is going to be exposed. So when the judge said in the hearing last time we were here, if there's protest, we'll make this trial take 5 years. 5 years. Last I checked, you have a right to a speedy trial, and you want to know that justice is to be served. Why would that man declare in an open hearing that they'll wait 5 years because of a few voices of activism in the street? See, we're looking at something. We don't know where this is going to go. The hope would be that the system does what it declares that it's designed to do. But every element in the system right now is under trial. The district attorney is under trial. We're watching the DA. We want to know that he's arguing the case in the best interest of justice. He's already fumbled a couple of times. But he allowed the defense to enter lies into testimony about the protest that happened in the city of Oakland. He allowed the defense attorney to besmirch the character of all of the organizers, all of the pastors, all of the activists without evidence. He just offered it in to say that the reason that the trial could not be held in the city of Oakland was because of our big mouths. That's what they said. He brought a newspaper in the courtroom with our pictures on the cover and said, "Judge, this is why we can't have this trial here." He said that there were 4,000 pieces of news. Well, of course, we're in the modern technology. Everything is on the internet and pops up 1,000 times every time an article hits. So we're watching the district attorney. We're watching the defense attorney. We're watching the defendant. The defendant and his attorney under gag order spoke out about the unsettled settlement. And I'm using that language because the settlement, according to Bart, when it was sealed, was partial. However, when we stood up and made it clear that you said that this settlement was partial, then we want to know when and where is the other part going to be dealt with. The Bart spokesman, before the mic cooled off, stepped out and said, "We had a deal. And a deal is a deal." I said, "Oh, I see what this is." Bart had no intention of furthering any other settlement offer with Oscar's mother, with Jack's sons. So they set out to demonize Jack's sons right off the top. So as soon as they began talking in the media about the $1.5 million settlement, the same day, they came out with news about Jack's sons as if Jack's sons had turned their backs on Oscar Grant. See, they're playing games in the media to keep us from fighting. So we're watching at every phase. We are pleased that the defense, pardon me, the civil attorney Mr. Burris came out after a little dialogue and expressed that this is a fight that is not over. He expressed that he would fight this until the end of time. He expressed that when and where he came up, that black men have rights. But of course, we're in a country where Dred Scott's decision declared that no black man has any rights that a white man is bound to respect. So if that's what the law is, then come on with it then. And let's see if you'll stand up next to the law that you claim has given black people rights. This case is going to be a test case to prove whether or not this justice system will ever serve the suffering masses of black people. So we stand on the side of justice. And we close by saying, let us continue to organize. Meetings must be had. We must have direction and purpose in what we're doing. We don't ever want to move without a direction and a purpose. A people without direction and purpose are in fact dead. And so we owe it to ourselves. As Minister Farrakhan once said, organization is more important than truth. Because an organized lie has more power than disorganized truth. So to the activists here in Los Angeles and those that came down from Northern California, from Chicago, all of these great men and women that have come on behalf of justice, we want to thank you on behalf of the family. We want to thank you from those in Oakland that are working to secure justice in the murder of Oscar Grant. Stay up, stay together, and let's demonstrate our power by uniting. Thank you for listening as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Next, I want to bring up somebody that the Prisoners Conscience Committee has been working with for years. She is the auntie of DeAndre Brunson, who was shot numerous times. You can catch it on YouTube after this meeting if you've never seen it before. And none other, somebody who's been a valiant warrior against police terrorism, Keisha Brunson.
Which is the barbecue, and is at my house, so if you need the address or the phone number, you can get it from me. And I said you guys should come about 4:30. I don't know exactly what time everybody's gonna get out of court, so I said 4:30. I'm the auntie of DeAndre Brunson. DeAndre was gunned down in Compton, August 24th, 2003. My brother, which is DeAndre's father, was gunned down January 13, 2007, and actually it was right after the other family took the money. Right after they took the money for DeAndre's death, my brother was murdered. And right now we still don't know what happened, but he was gunned down. DeAndre's mother and his kid's mother went against me in court and took a settlement, and I refused to take the money. And when I refused to take the money, the judge told me that he would make sure that I lose at anything that I do. And that's exactly what he did in court. They made sure that I lost at whatever I do. When they had DeAndre on the porch and he was asking to use the phone and asking, you know, for different things that if they let him do it, he'll give himself up. They didn't want it to end that way. They wanted to do exactly what they did to DeAndre. Every time I tell the story. It's like it just happened. They refused to let DeAndre do anything that night. They came and got me from my house, telling me that they had DeAndre, who was like to him. When I told him I was the auntie, they said, you have to go with us. Of course I went because it was concerning DeAndre, but I never saw DeAndre. Instead, I was taken away from DeAndre. I was taken to a dark area at a school and locked inside the police car. All the time I'm asking these officers what's going on, where's DeAndre? I never saw DeAndre, never talked to DeAndre. I'm calling around. Trying to let someone know where I'm at. I stand in this officer's car.
That's the best I can do it to not be this way.
Up until I heard the gunshots. Thank you. Which lasted forever. I'm asking them, is DeAndre okay? Nobody's talking to me. I'm locked in the back seat. I keep working with the windows to get my hand through so I can hit the latch. I finally hit the latch. I got out the car and started running. These officers chase me down, pick me up. Actually, as they picked me up, before they actually got me off the ground, they stumped me on my back and asked me, how'd you get out the fucking car? So they picked me up by my clothes, threw me back in the police car, locked me in there. Hours went by and I was locked in this police car in the dark. When they finally came back to the car, they took me to jail and locked me up in jail. And they didn't talk to me there. Hours went by, they came back and said that he was deceased and did I want to ride home. As I got to the corner of my house, they let me out the car and the yellow tape, everything is out, because they started putting the yellow tape up before they even shot DeAndre. When I got out the car, I'm walking inside my gate and I see the coroner's truck putting DeAndre.
I'm
okay, thank you.
Take some deep breaths.
They're putting DeAndre in the car, the coroner's truck. I never saw DeAndre until he was in the casket. After that, never knew how he was. But I remember when I went to the mortuary, I told the mortician guy if he could let me see him, and he said no. I said, well, can I see the pictures? He wouldn't let me see the pictures. I said, well, did he have dog bites on him? The mortician guy said, yeah. He had them in his face in his chest area. And I said, well, would you be willing to come to court? He said, yeah, just subpoena me. Well, he was killed. The lawyers who had this case, I went to two different lawyers. These lawyers didn't want answers. They wanted money. When they finally got an investigator out, and I went around with her to get questions from people, that's how I found out that they actually let the dog take bites out of him before they shot him. And that's on the video. We see the part of the video. I can't even tell you what part of that when it started, but it's a lot before that even started. I just remember telling the people at the mortuary to cover DeAndre's face up. Just make it where people can't touch him. At this point, I didn't know that half his face was shot off, and they had to actually redo it to make, you know, redo it to make a face there. They couldn't even embalm DeAndre because the embalming wouldn't stay inside his body because it had too many holes. They had to wrap him in plastic first. D- DeAndre has 3 kids. The baby, DeAndre Jr., who was born, is now 5, and he has twin boys that are 12. The people's porch where DeAndre was, as they shoot DeAndre, the bullets are the ones that's going through him. They're going inside the lady house. The lady have about 9 kids inside the house at this time. She had to try to grab the kids and run to the back. She had a nervous breakdown behind all this also, because these people are still inside their houses as everything was taking place that night. Lieutenant Maxwell was one of the officers. They gave the command to shoot, and he was at a bar drinking with his girlfriend. He wasn't even there, but he gave the okay for them to shoot. When they start shooting, they also shot the K-9 dog, which his name is Marco. They had his number on the internet. They was pissed off about their dog. They picked the dog up, put him in a helicopter. DeAndre was still moving. Smoke coming out his body, but he's moving. They just act like he wasn't even there. They picked the dog up and they rushed the dog to the hospital. The dog died. Next day on the news, they said Peroni killed the police dog. DeAndre didn't kill the police dog. DeAndre didn't have a gun. If you watch the tape, you'll see at the end of the tape, they forgot the tape was still rolling. DeAndre asked them to tape it, but they forgot it was still rolling. And I don't know how we got the tape, because I know we weren't supposed to get it. You have to watch out for these lawyers, because everybody's out for money. I mean, it's just crazy how they can break the family up and divide them. And that's what they did to my family. You know, they turned them against me and, you know, showed them the money, and that's what they went for. And that's what they did. So, you know, they took the money, and it really was an insult what they even did all that for. I just want to thank everybody for coming out and ask that we keep supporting Oscar Grant and his family, because I just wish that, man, I wish that the family did not have to go through this. And it's just sad to see, because I know exactly how I feel. If you guys can come out, please come out tomorrow. To my house, barbecue. I just ask you guys to just keep supporting me. And I thank everybody who always support me. Everybody, I don't want to name names, because I don't want to leave nobody out, but you guys always support me when you guys come, and I thank you. I thank everybody that's here, the people that live here that support me, the people that come in from out of town that support me, and I thank you for always, always supporting me. I was really upset when I got here, because...
Love you, sister.
Thank you. I was upset because I wanted my family to come out, and they didn't. And I mean, it's nothing new, but you know, I just thought that they should come out and show some support. But I thank you guys, and I know you guys are my family too. So just stay strong and just stick together, and we gotta find some solutions, because we really have a serious problem. So thank you guys for coming out. When it's time to come back. So it's, you know, for us to come together, and maybe we can, you know, come up with some ideas while we...
DeAndre's birthday is different stuff. You do different things to us. I also just want to commend you for that too, for your different home gathering things you do and everything. Okay, right on. So love and respect. I know.
So it's tomorrow at 4 o'clock? Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, get the directions from Keisha Brunston. Before we bring up our last speakers, I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge David. David is a journalist who's been working on this since day one. Along with the San Francisco Bayview newspaper, along with the Final Call newspaper, David has made sure that the details, the meetings, what's been happening at the meetings have been acknowledged. He also set up IndieBay.org Oscar grant page where you can get updated. So these stickers are available. There's only a few, or these are cards, right? A few of these cards are available right here if you would like to see more of what he's got going. He's taping this right here. He's taped a number of other events. So, you know, definitely a salute to one of the activists, journalists that have been along on this ride with us. Last but not least, before we get to the community section of this town hall meeting, I want to bring up two members of the San Francisco 8, Hay Jones and Ray Boudreaux, who were recently on a trumped up trial of murder in San Francisco. Francisco Torres is still on trial, but the people and the support of the people have gotten 7 out of the 8 off, and we owe it to get the last of the 8 off, which is Francisco Torres, who I believe went to court today, and hopefully they can inform us as to what's been going on with that. But you know, these are two of the 8 brothers that have been standing up. They've been holding fast, been doing activism in the community, all across the nation, speaking about police terrorism, not just from the 60s and when they were members of different organizations, but right here today and what they went through today. So without further ado, Hank Jones and Ray Boudreaux of the San Francisco 8.
We're here to, express us and bear witness to the support for Oscar Grant's family, and to bring a message from the San Francisco 8 and / Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. We formed, the San Francisco 8 formed the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights in 2005, after we were locked up for resisting a grand jury, for not cooperating with a grand jury. They called it contempt. And we did have contempt, because those grand juries are illegal and unconstitutional. And they are nothing more than attempts to coerce and pressure you into cooperation. So we are the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights. The Committee for the Defense of Human Rights is dedicated to preventing and challenging police misconduct on a national and local level. Also, we are committed to creating coalitions between all the various organizations around the country. What we feel is that there needs to be a common thread amongst us, a common agreement that we can come together around. And we decided that human rights violations encompasses all of this. What happened to Oscar Grant and all the others, and what happened to San Francisco 8, what happened to the Black Panther Party, what happened to the People's Movement was a human rights violation, as spelled out in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. You can Google that online, you'll find out that the nations of the world came together in 1948 and created this document, which has been violated on a consistent basis by the United States government. They have violated every agreement or treaty they have ever signed.
That's right.
So we want to let the family of Oscar Grant know that we are behind them, we support them, and we will be working to try to organize to prevent these kinds of things from happening in the future. It's too late for us to prevent the death of Oscar Grant, but we can, by our actions, make his death a symbolic event and change the mentality that's white supremacist, racist mentality of the police agencies in this country. We live in a police state now. I don't know if we realize that or not. And so we have to work to change that, get the country back in the hands of the people. And I'm going to let Ray have something to say.
I only have one thing to add. We must demand justice for the murder of Oscar Grant. And Emmett Till's uncle gave him up. It's good to see an uncle supporting a nephew. That's all I have to say.
J.R. mentioned that one of the San Francisco 8, Francisco Torres, is still in jeopardy. Went to court today. They are, you know, trying to railroad him in the prison. He refuses to accept any kind of a deal. They've offered several deals. He's steadfast, and we'll be going back to court today. They set another, they postponed it again. What's happening here is that we are filing, we have a motion to dismiss that we want to file for pre-prosecutorial delay. What that means is that his chances of getting a fair trial are jeopardized by the span of time. This is a 40-year-old case that they're trying to convict, or tried to convict us on, and are trying to convict Francisco on. That has no evidence. They claimed when they arrested us all in 2007 and locked us up for 9 months that there was new evidence. There is no evidence, new or otherwise. So Francisco is, in effect, being railroaded. And what we have to do is continue to bring support to the courthouse every time he appears, because that is what's going to keep him from being railroaded. It's the support of the people. Francisco was a member of the Black Panther Party. I was a member of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We still hold the principles of the party in our heart and our minds, and will continue to do so as long as we live. So the committee wanted me to express our support for your family and let you know that whatever you need us to do, we're there for you. But we will be working to try to change. What needs to be changed is the society that we live in. And we need to do that in an organized manner. You know, it's understandable that you react to an outrage the way you did. I've done that myself. I've been there. But I've learned now that after you have reacted, you know, and you know, in an explosive manner, There's a time that you then have to regain your composure and start using your head, your mind, think, and plan, and organize. And that's what we need to do. In order to change the system, we have to organize and link ourselves together, put aside or overcome the things that divide us, you see. Because that's, they play us off one against the other. They keep us separated and divided. You know, we still suffer from the residual effects of slavery, you know. So these are things we have to overcome. Oscar Grant was my son, you see.
That's right.
Oscar Grant was all of our sons, you see. I was raised in northern Mississippi, in apartheid northern Mississippi.
Right, right.
Back in the day when the railroad tracks divided whites and blacks, you see. So I fully understand what a community is, because we were forced to be a community by Klan terror, you see. We didn't have a choice. We had to band together and look out for each other. And these are the things we have forgotten when we have left our origins and our, you know. And we come up here in these cities and things, and we think we're free. And then things like what happened to Oscar Grant reminds us that we're not free. We're not there yet, you see. So let's go to work. Let's go to work. We'll be organized. We're going to be trying to, all over this country, the Committee for the Defense of Human Rights is going to be trying to pull the different factions together under some unified, I don't know what you want to call it, umbrella. Okay? That's our mission. Okay? All power to the people. Power to the people.
You know, I want to say, true to San Francisco 8, we should also keep our eyes and be ever vigilant on the case of Francisco Torres. As he mentioned, it is still going on, you know. So we have this town hall meeting. It's not over, but we're having this town hall meeting because tomorrow at 9 o'clock, am I right? 7 o'clock?
8:30.
Okay, well, we have a few times to be there. But it's going to be at Los Angeles Superior Court, 210 West Temple Street. So make sure you're there tomorrow morning. And now we're about to open it up to the community. I want to bring my comrade and sister, Erica, who's been doing a lot of work on this case, and she's going to host the Q&A aspect of it.
Greetings, everyone. Thank you to all the speakers. So I'm just here to facilitate. So are there any questions, comments, concerns from the community that would like to speak to any of the speakers?
Anybody? Anybody have anything to say?
Yeah, I'd like to say something. What you were saying earlier, about your man that's sitting in jail and they're trying to bring out new evidence. And like you say, there is no new evidence. That's what they're doing to my son right now. They ran him all through the news saying that what he said is new evidence in order to help Oscar Grant free the police officer. Well, what my son said and all the new evidence that they're bringing up, that's old. It's stuff that the judge wouldn't even allow in the courtroom. And it's stuff that the judge didn't want to hear. But this is the games that the media does, is to conquer and divide the community and the families.
Were your sons charged with anything?
No, they were never charged. They were just like, I seen the videos of the San Francisco 8, and it's similar. They hauled off the jail after Oscar was murdered. They were handcuffed, left in the car for 2 hours. They were kind of tortured. Hmm. And after they couldn't get nothing out of them, what they wanted, they didn't even offer them a ride home. They told them to have a
nice trip home, you know, and escorted them out the building one by one. And they had to run up to the hospital and they ran up to the hospital, which was they were arrested and put at Lake Merritt Bar Station, and then they had to run up to the hospital at Highland Hospital, where Oscar was. So that's how they did that.
I just want to add to that that when they were abusing Jack's sons and Oscar's other friends, they had tape recorders on and were interrogating them and asking them questions and this and that, and I believe basically trying to get them to say something that they could potentially use later, because now these recordings that were recorded on January 1st when they were illegally detained are surfacing now. There's been information about that's being leaked out. They're trying to say, oh, that's going to help Messerly. In contrast, Messerly was never interviewed by Internal Affairs at BART. He's never been interviewed or spoken to by anybody, not even the DA in Alameda. So they were grilling Jack's sons, Oscar's friends, and Messerly didn't have to talk to anybody.
We have a young man in the back.
You can come to the front because it only reaches so far.
Assalamu alaikum. Allahu akbar. I had a comment as a suggestion. The comment is, I was in a penitentiary in Oklahoma and I heard about Oscar Grant. I'm from Cali Dolphin, Jordan Dam. So it's publicity already. The suggestion I want to make, if it's some kind of tape or a film or something, we need to sell them a dollar and, you know, make some kind of funds of you know what I'm saying, so people can travel. And right on, we're working on it, definitely. We are working on it.
Y'all come, whoever wants to speak, y'all come through this minute.
Yeah, I just wanted to express, you know, the solidarity of the Los Angeles Coalition for Justice for Oscar Grant to the family. Let people know that we've been meeting here regularly. There's 20 to 30 people coming out every 2 weeks for the meetings, but people are also out on the streets leafleting. We've been doing outdoor projection of the videos to different events around town. We were leafleting the Pan-African Film Festival here, where I know J.R. showed his film, but they showed a lot of other movies with a very, very big turnout, 41st and Central. And we were flyering about the Oscar Grant case, and a lot of people aware of that. That coalition here locally, there's people from the Black Writers Liberation Party, from my organization is Anti-Racist Action, Los Angeles People Against Racist Terror. Anak Bayan, which is a Filipino organization, this is a Mexican, you know, indigenous people in that coalition. There's other organizations, the October 22nd Coalition, Anak Bayan, Kapwatch, LA Kapwatch, Revolutionary Autonomous Communities, and all of those groups are committed to this struggle. Like you said, if it gets, the venue gets moved down to San Diego, wherever, people are going to keep this up and keep the struggle going. And so we really want to express our support to the family.
Assalamu alaikum. Power to the people. My name is Kambui Siddiqui. I'm Minister of Defense of the Black Writers Liberation Party. And unfortunately, I was locked up during a conspiracy case. Tom Oscar Grant was assassinated by the pigs. When I first got out, you know what I mean, last year, in November, first thing I came to my comrades, I'm like, man, I want to move on this Oscar Grant issue, you feel me? And the moment I said that, the comrades is already on it. And our main thing was what we could do, you know, to publicize this and let us know that this is an epidemic of all children, you know what I mean, the black and brown community, especially black children in the black community, has been assassinated. It is a war against our youth, even in these school institutions. Same people control the school prison system is the same people control the prison systems. We need to know this is an institution of slavery and they're training our kids and raising our kids. What we need to do is raise our kids and train our kids and teach them culture so they can know who they are, so they won't be confused about who their enemy is. So if they join this class struggle of bourgeoisness and white supremacy, then they'll know why they become a problem themselves. And that's what we've been doing for the Black Writers Liberation Party and many brothers and sisters across the globe. We put all types of Oscar Grant posters up on these poles, up and down Crenshaw, talk to Bloods and Crips, and let them know, hey, we at war with the pigs, and they at war with you. Take a stand. Power to the people.
I'm Bilal with the Unity Mission to Free the San Francisco 8, and former member of the Coalition Against Police Abuse, Michael Zinza. what I want to talk about is this case, this incident. Right now, some brothers, some sisters get abused by the police somewhere in this country right now. Because that's what this country's about. You ain't gonna hear about them. You know what I'm saying? But it happens every day. State violence, whether it's in the form of cutting welfare from people, gentrifying in your neighborhoods, it's still state violence. It's all linked up. And we're fighting all these battlefronts, you know, and we're fragmented, we're weak. These people shot this brother, right? Brother talked about the brothers they beat up going back in my day with Ronald Stokes, right? Little Dead Waller, you know, on and on and on. The bag lady that was killed by the police, right? And here in LA, Margaret, Michael, you're the San Francisco Aid is a constant warfare on us. Constantly, all the time, we got to get people to understand that. We have some time in our approach with these. And I've dealt with many police shootings, killings, beatings in my years at the Coalition Against Police Abuse and as a baby panther. We have the Sisyphean approach a lot of times. Everybody know who Sisyphus was? Huh? Yeah. Sisyphus was doomed to roll, push a boulder up the hill. As soon as the boulder got to the top of the hill, it rolled back down on him. And he'd push it back up there again, and he was doomed and cursed to do that for eternity. So sometimes our approach is, once this case is over, like the brother said, we don't know what's going to happen. Once this case is over, they still going to be beating and killing us. See? Then everybody's chilled out, especially if this pig get convicted. There's going to be parties all over California, right? And people say, well, justice was done. We got our due. We got our prize. It's like this jive scam with Obama being elected. You know, magic wand. Everything's all good. We work it all down. See what I'm saying? So, it's not just this about this case. It's about oppression. It's about being a colonized people in this country whose agenda is to kill us and to terrorize us and to keep us subservient to that. Okay? So, I don't want, once this case is over, we all go back to our normal lives and tell the next brutality, the next sister, the next brother shot down and beat up. And here we come charging again, another press conference, another demonstration, another protest. The city gets sued, people get money. That's my money. I pay those taxes. I'm paying for the police killing us. See what I'm saying? That's what that money is, blood money. And the newspapers go away, the pimps come out, take their pictures, get the so-called leaders of the community, get their pictures in the paper, and they down, and then it's all over with, everybody's quiet, it's all good, let's party again, then till the next one. And you remember, it's always gonna be another one, but you gotta ask yourself, I may be the next one. So after this case is over, we don't stop, because there's many others, and we keep pushing it out there, not just with the cold-blooded, he didn't think he killed, he didn't get murdered, he was assassinated. He assassinated because he stood up, he busted the status quo. He dared question authority. He dared question master. And that was assassination. And that's what they're out here to do, to assassinate, kill all of us. So after this case is over, we don't stop, we don't go back home, go back to our normal lives. We keep jumping by, and every time we hear about a case, we keep jumping behind those cases, and we keep building a movement. A movement that shows these folks that if they come and brutalize us, they beat us, they murder us, there's a price that's going to be paid. And that's what we got to convey to them. Because they say, he can pull that dude over in front of the cameras and shoot him. What's in this man's mind? I don't have nothing to worry about. Okay. I don't have anything to worry about. So let's remember that. It's not just this case. It's about all of us. All five to the people.
If you guys have a comment, if you could just raise a hand and get eye contact and I'll keep
going. Can we limit it to like 2 minutes so that more people can speak?
All right, yeah. Try to go fast. So first of all, I want to echo this point, and I think we need to prepare people for, you know, remember the WMD thing, right? The weapons of mass destruction, weapon of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction. You say it over and over and over again, and you want to justify a war. You say it over and over again. You say it enough times, you come up with enough bullshit evidence, and people will believe it. And that is what is about to rain down on LA and has already started. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing it over and over again. Taser accident, taser accident, taser accident, taser holster accident, taser holster accident. Then the next part of it is going to be what they did. The young men, what did they do? What did they do? What did they do before it happened? Then it's going to be them getting put on trial. And we've seen it happen before. We're going to see it again. It's a complex case. But when we go out, we know that the basic what happened is simple. The case is complicated, though. So when we go out and talk to people, and we go out and we do our outreach, and we go out and, you know, put together our materials and so on, and get people involved, we've also got to simplify, you know, get down to, like, what do people really need to know, and how can we help people read between the lines? Also prepare people for the fact that it is quite likely that this guy is going to walk. But in the interim, how do we use this opportunity to organize statewide and to organize to take on bigger issues like, as Minister Keith mentioned, the Police Bill of Rights, which is what protects this whole kind of thing from happening, that we continue to put the system on trial and that we continue to bring together and forge the kind of coalition that we've seen come together in a historic way in this particular case. And specifically, I want to say that this, you know, one of the things just also to kind of prepare folks is, you know, in the first weeks and the first a couple of nights where JR and other folks have charges coming from the evening of the 7th and the evening of the 14th, you know, one of the big things that they said was, oh, the big divide and conquer thing then was, oh, it was the white anarchist. It was the white anarchist. Well, hey, if anybody, anybody who said that to me, I was like, well, you know what? If you think that the white anarchists caused that response to the Oscar Grant shooting, then clearly you weren't there. Number one, you weren't there because there wasn't no gang of white anarchists down here in 1992 on April 28th and May 1st, that's for sure, you know. But the point is that there's a broad coalition that has been forming and is going to continue to form, but we also, you know, I think there's a lot that we need to be sharing in our organizing and, you know, and helping to prepare for a lot of the same games and the same kind of manipulations and things that we're gonna see happen down here. So that's all I wanna say, and you know, we'll talk about it more. Thanks.
Just real briefly also, I need to mention this, make sure we defend those that defend us. With the cases that were given by the state in response to the rebellions after the Oscar Grant was executed, make sure you go to court when? Monday?
February
22nd.
February
22nd.
At the courthouse by the lake.
Okay, yes, we need to go at the infamous Alameda County Courthouse. We need warm bodies there. So again, so put the word out. Okay, right.
My name is Mo. I'm with Agents for Jericho Mumia, and I'd like to share our support for the families. I think one of the things that I've seen, okay, is that our look at this country and what it really represents, it's got to be really taken a hard look at, right? I mean, our take on it is that we're colonial subjects. All people of color in this country, on this empire, are colonial subjects, so we're treated as colonial subjects. So we ain't got no rights. We talk about all the rights we want to, but they ain't never had no rights that they respected or followed, right? So we have to organize ourselves, right, as colonial subjects, right? Today, when we're supposed to be in an anti-colonial world, right, it's a human rights violation. So we need to follow up on that, you know, to go to a position that we can all get united around and get together on. Because, right, I was reminded today when I was talking to some friends about Oscar and what was going on. Well, apparently during when Oscar was killed on New Year's Day, two people were killed right here in L.A. Just shot down in cold blood, you know? So, I mean, it's going to go on and on and on, and we're going to just keep responding. That was our problem with the Jericho Coalition in L.A. We just kept responding and responding, but we didn't have a clear idea where the hell we were going, right? Well, this sucker's got to come down. Let's get clear about that, right? Ain't nothing we can do to reform this baby to make it right, because it wasn't right to get from the get-go, and it ain't gonna never get right, right? Because the people in power ain't gonna never gonna get, you know, respect us as human beings. So, yeah, we're on our way, right? The ground is shaking again. People all over the world are stomping. So, I think that, I just wanna just say that, you know, I'm real happy to be here and this crowd of people that are going forward, making a better world for everybody. All power to the people.
We're just gonna take a couple more hands because it's getting late. So does anyone else have a comment? I see one right there, but does anyone else have anything to say?
I realize that we have time to get light in on. I stay out all night long. But my point is we gotta take it to the world, hear me, because the world is thinking about a lot of things, but right now, black folk are being owned across the globe. I mean, with all these flu and AIDS and people dying, and they killing over in Africa in a big, big way. I've been around since my mother told me I couldn't go Mississippi because we out of Mississippi because Emmett Till got killed. And she said, them white folk ain't leave you alone, boy, because you ain't gonna come back. So my mama wouldn't let me go. But ever since my mother let me, you know, she died in 60. I've been struggling since. And I'm glad to see this meeting here today. The program on, you know, that you all are pulling together. Right now, we losing, as a people, we are being laid off. All across Los Angeles, we are being put out of our jobs. And up here in the areas where I live, over in the Joys, in the J's, I call it New Mexico now, we are being pushed out. We've been pushed out of LA. I lived on the east side. They pushed us out over there. They had these little brothers fighting one another, called gang activity. I found out later that gang activity was contrived to make us move. My sister, like an idiot, moved to Rialto, and now she's in foreclosure, along with a whole bunch of friends. They had beautiful houses. They gave them up. Understand where I'm coming from. I know. I said, Grant, I feel for him. You know, we got to keep struggling for him, but we got to think about the people. You know, and right now the people is in bad shape. We're not doing well. Some of us are elitists. We feel that we are better than others, and I ain't getting in that. Man. Look at hell with them. They out there in the street acting a fool. We can't run. We can't hide. People are resenting us. You know, I got friends in the park. I'm from here, Lemur, right now. You know, I'm from LA, true. But the thing is that we got struggles here, right here, too, that we got to work on for those of us who are left behind after we work on this Oscar Grant thing. We got to take it to the United Nations. We got to let them know that we're being oppressed in this way. We got to start struggling. My son just got out from doing 15 long ones, and now he got paid the state of California all that child support or something. They done garnished him. He got a little job, and he's messed. You know, he don't know what he gonna do. But the point is that, you know, we here, our kids is losing. The kids is wasted in schools. They're not reading. They're not writing. Our kids is walking in the penitentiary door.
doors are flying open and we walking in. We got to start taking it to the street. We got to start telling brothers, don't go no more penitentiary. We can't fight for one another no more. We got to do that. We got to put things down by telling everybody around us, hey, no more arguments, no more fussing and cussing. We got to start putting that. And you know what the dope building is at now, right? Right over on Crenshaw. The people who got it don't look like us. The guns, Fermini down the street, don't look like us. They got all them guns. He saved her. I know it's a long story. I'm in it.
Thank you, brother.
My name is Jamaya Sabaka, and I've seen a lot of my brothers die. You know, from the 60s, 70s, most of the brothers that I know are older. They have always, we've always led with the radical thinking and the conscious movement. My name is, I represent actually the Bobo Shanti Order of Rastafari. And in our philosophy, we really don't believe that the Africans, the black people here, should really be here. Basically, the problem that we're having here, I've traveled to Africa many times, I've lived in Europe and in other places. I know I'm going to keep going, but let me express myself. I believe that the problem that we're having here in America is based upon that we don't want to let go. And our brothers and sisters are going to continue to die. Your children will be continued miseducated, and your health will continue to deteriorate in this type of lifestyle in the West. What we are holding on here is basically a ideal that was created by another race of people to bring you here to work. They do not really want you to be here other than that. We are a strong nation. Marcus Garvey has told us many times that repatriation for the African is a must for you, for your salvation. Just as the Senegalese told the Haitian government and the people that they have a place in Africa where they can leave an island. No man is an island. We have a great continent. And the Africans in America, what they can do in all of the West Indies and in the South America to build up Africa, because that is your homeland. The miseducation of the African in this country is just continually going on and on. I know, you know, this is not something that we want to address, but see, I visit all jails. And I visit my brother dies out of Compton. You understand? And what I'm trying to say is over a period of time in my life, I'm over 50, I can tell you right now that you will not have the success in this country, whether you are Muslim, whether you are Rasta, well, I don't care what groups you are. We need to unite together as you're doing here. This is what I come here and I see the positiveness. Out of all the groups, we should unite together, no matter what the difference is, and look towards your homeland, look towards here a preparation. That means do no longer the things that you would continually do to be incarcerated. Do you know if you walk royally with your head up in the street, and our brothers and sisters would have a different consciousness, do you know that they would not be fighting and killing and that kind of thing? Do you understand? Do we understand this?
Yes, sir. We got
yeah,
to go, brother.
Okay, so that's just my expression, and I would like to express that to the people since I have the mic for the little time. Thank you very, very much.
Life has been going to be a go
you know, again, from the family, we just want to thank everybody for coming out. Thanks for all the information and all the different leaders from different organizations that are here tonight that have shared their insight and their knowledge concerning the movement in itself. You know, and I do believe personally that this movement is going to require some real serious organization. And I believe that as long as we can communicate between North and South, you know, Oakland and LA, that this movement would become extremely strong. You know, much love and thanks to Minister Muhammad for an example of what we've done in Northern California is have what you call a town hall meeting here, like LA, every week. And many different people comes out and it's about the information of receiving the knowledge of the case. You know, we're sure, you know, I'm pretty sure most people here in LA don't know the intimate details of the case, but that's what we're here for. You know, if you need myself or Jack or Minister Muhammad or anyone that is in Northern California to come and share with a community of people that are truly interested in the intimate details of this case, you know, let us know. You know, myself, I will try to come and give the details to help help you become knowledgeable in this movement that we are embarking on. You know, again, you know, it's the knowledge of this case and it's the movement of the young people that is going to bring about this change. The more young people that we can get involved to stand up and let their voice be heard, change will occur. You know, and as one of the brothers from the San Francisco 8 had said, you know, it's not about acting irrationally with our immediate, at one moment of time with me, you know, personally, anger, right? It's about thinking through this process and being most effective in working together to bring about the results that we want, which is a change to this justice system, the ceasing of police brutality, and, you know, and I look over at David and I think about it, you know, some of the steps that we have made that I believe were mistakes was that we depended on the media, corporate media, to get our voice heard. That's not going to happen. It's going to happen by us going to people like JR, you know, the independent media like David, and bringing these people together to hear our demands and our requests to bring it forth to the community so that the community of the people that need to hear what's really going on can hear it. You know, because the media, corporate media, as I found, has always put a twist on what we say. They've hidden the real essence of our cry to the people about what this case is about. You know, and so, you know, thank you, David. You know, again, thank you, JR. You know, and LA for having me.
The next meeting of the LA Coalition is February 28th. That's a Sunday at 5 p.m. It's at Chuco Justice Center, which is 1137 East Redondo Boulevard in Inglewood. That's actually not very far from here. It's like two blocks west and one block north of Farms and Crenshaw. It's like where West Boulevard hits the tracks there. It's the pre-LA high school and Chuco Justice Center.
They can talk to you if they need some more information, right?
Over here.
Okay. Well, I just want to give out a few things if you guys need some more information. As Minister Keith Muhammad stated, the final call is a good source of information about this case. We represent the San Francisco Bayview newspaper, which is also a good source of information about this case. And blockreportradio.com is a good source of information. And also DDoN's program that comes on Tuesday at 8 DDoN. Tuesday 8 to 9 on KPFK is also a good source of information about this case. And Indie Bay Media with David, and I know the LA Watts, the one that Tommy works on, Watts Times has also covered the case extensively. So please, you know, in the in-between time until next month, please read up on it. You know, we constantly cover what Jack Bryson, Uncle Bobby, and different members of the community in general that are fighting are saying about it in these different forums, so you can be connected. You don't have to wait till next month's hearing to hear what's going on. But I want to thank everybody for coming, and I want to thank the Chaos Network for hosting this. So, you know, please stay around. Please meet somebody new. Please exchange numbers. That's what this is for. And thank y'all for coming.
Thank you.